This is NPR, National Public Radio.
I'm Robert Siegel. What's the value of intuition and experience when it comes to making predictions about the future? This question has generated a lot of psychological research, and much of it assumes that intuition is not as valuable as we may assume. A small group of psychologists has suggested that an alternative is more effective, and as NPR's Elise Spiegel reports, they use relatively simple statistical formulas to predict human behavior.
Armed robbery was a bad idea. The kind of mistake you make when you're young and high and surrounded by the wrong sort of people. But the prisoner believed that 5 years in the pen had taught him a lesson. And as cameras from the A&E network rolled, he made his case to the two New Jersey parole commissioners charged with deciding his fate. The men listened patiently, then asked a series of questions about the prisoner's prior offenses, his history of addiction, and why he had turned to crime in the first place.
I was adopted, and ever since I was told that I was adopted, I've had different type of problems in school, out of school.
Let me stop you there. Would you agree that most people who get adopted don't do what you did?
Of course.
Right.
The two New Jersey parole commissioners are trying to determine if the prisoner will commit another violent act. That's their job. And so they reach deep into his psychological history, searching for a telling detail, some clue which might convince them that he's no longer a threat.
Tell me something. Do you know who your biological mother is today?
No.
Are you going to try to find out?
No.
The parole commissioners are using their intuition. They use their intuition to ask questions, to judge answers, and ultimately, to make a decision. Like most people, maybe more than most people, parole commissioners tend to believe in the power of their own gut instinct. Tom Miller is a commissioner for the Maryland Board of Parole.
You look in their eyes, you can feel, you know, if they're being sincere or not, and you learn to sort of see right through them.
But it's difficult to predict the future. In fact, in the case of parole, accuracy rates are fairly low. It turns out that experience and intuition aren't as reliable a guide as we might have hoped, and not only in parole, but in a wide variety of situations. And there is an alternative, a solution devised by the psychologist Paul Meehl, statistics. You see, Meehl wanted to replace gut instinct with precisely calibrated statistical formulas, an idea most people don't seem to like very much. Meehl died this past February, but a professor of psychology at the University of Rhode Island named David Faust carries on his work.
It was Paul's view pretty much from the beginning, and it's part of why he didn't spend too much time afterwards on this topic, that the profession would be unable to deal with this issue, or the way he might put it is deal with it rationally.
Most psychologists don't like the idea that a statistical formula could do a better job of making a decision than old-fashioned human instinct, but Meehl's work demonstrated that the numbers consistently beat out intuition and experience, a conclusion which has since been confirmed. William Grove is a psychology professor at the University of Minnesota.
Out of 136, I believe it is, studies that I located on this topic and analyzed, all but a small handful, eight if memory serves, showed that the statistical or actuarial or computer-based type prediction was performing as well as or better than clinical predictions did.
But why does an experience and intuition do as well as a statistical model? The answer has to do with feedback. The fact is, decision makers don't usually get clear feedback about whether or not they've made the right choice. This is especially true of psychologists and psychiatrists, because patients usually defer to what they see as expert judgment, even when that judgment is incorrect. Professor Faust points to a famous study about horoscopes. A group of people are divided into three groups. The first group is not asked for any personal information. The second, only for their year of birth. The third, for both the year and the date of their birth. Then all three groups are given the exact same horoscope.
The first group, they go, it's pretty accurate. The second group, who have submitted their year of birth, say, wow, that's really pretty good. And the third group, which has submitted, now they're all getting exactly the same information, which is given their exact day of birth, rate the accuracy much higher. So what happens in the context of a psychologist or psychiatrist's office, it's a lot like horoscopes in a sense. Now, I'm not saying psychology and psychiatry is a pseudoscience, there's nothing to it, it's all like horoscopes. But there is one fundamental similarity there, which is if you give someone a bunch of tests and use some specialized method, and they think you know them, and then give them feedback, they will tend to agree with it, whether it's correct or not.
This is not to say that intuition and experience are useless, but they can't necessarily help a decision maker determine which information is going to be the most predictive. Take parole. Parole boards always look at a range of information, age, criminal history, but it turns out that the best indicator of whether or not someone is going to act out violently is an old psychological test called the Porteous Maze. Patients are given a pencil and a piece of paper which features the diagram of a maze.
What you do is you put your pencil in the middle and you're to trace your way through, and you're not to lift the pencil. In scoring the test, you count pencil lifts, which sounds rather trivial. Well, it turns out that's a pretty good predictor of impulsive behavior. When you think about it for a second, you go, oh, I see it. If you're supposed to not lift your pencil and you impulsively do so, maybe you've got less control over what you're supposed to do. Now, I could pretty much tell you, if you gathered 100 psychologists or psychiatrists before this research was done and said, well, let's list the 10 best predictors of violent behavior, I think lifts on the Porteous Mazes would not be one of the candidates.
So how would a statistical formula work in practice? Sitting in his meticulously organized office, Professor David Faust brings out a stack of papers, which includes a formula for suicide.
Let's see. This is one on prediction of suicide.
There on the page is a neatly composed table of negative and positive predictors, marital status, frequency of suicidal thoughts.
So I would go through and collect this information, and then what I need to do is to go from the information, right, to the numbers.
But not all the predictors are equally helpful, which is why it's important to weight the information.
So you can assign them each 1 or 2 points, but maybe we have one that's really incredibly important so that all the other ones get counted 1 or 2 points. This one gets counted 10 points.
At the end of the process, you have a number which you consider against a scale. 15 to 20, say, are low risk, 20 to 25 medium, and so on. It's really quite a simple process. Still, the vast majority of professionals, both inside and outside mental health, entirely ignore this technique. Professor David Faust.
98 to 99% of the field reject it. It just doesn't fit their sense of how it ought to work.
It's not just a question of blind faith and intuitive judgment. For people like Tom Miller, commissioner for the Maryland Board of Parole, it's really a moral issue. You see, the problem with statistical formulas is that they also make mistakes, just fewer of them. But those are mistakes which Miller believes might be easily avoided by a human judge.
If you had the ability to look at someone and make a conscientious decision, but you chose to look at a piece of paper instead and made the wrong thing, and maybe you could have allowed somebody to spend some more time with their children, it's going to burden you forever.
Psychology professor Faust disagrees.
If I use a kind of warm and fuzzy approach that makes me feel good and the other person feel good, but the outcome is tragic, I've really not done anything for them. And if we know a better way to do it, and a way that can reduce human suffering, I think we really do have a moral obligation to use these sorts of approaches, even if on the surface they strike us as cold-hearted.
In the case of the New Jersey armed robber, the commissioners decide to use their best judgment and give the man a chance. The petitioner is granted parole.
Do you have any questions for us?
I think best I can say is thank you.
You can thank us best you know how, right?
Yes.
By succeeding.
Okay.
Perhaps in this case, their intuition is correct. Perhaps not. Elise Spiegel, NPR News, Washington.